Brett, good to see you. Good to have you back with us here in the opening bell. And we're going to talk a little bit about predictions. And I think the biggest prediction there might be out there is whether the Cubs are going to win another World Series. I know you were at Game 7. Is that on your prediction list for 2017, another World Series?
Steve, I predicted the Cubs are going to win the World Series for the last 60 years. And I'm 1 for 60, so let's be 2 for 61.
So let's talk a little bit about predictions for the economy coming up in 2017. I know you have your ear to the ground on a lot of things. What would be the biggest thing that you think is coming for 2017 that people may or may not be prepared for?
Well, if you have listened to any TV, radio commentary following this election, it appears there's going to be a lot of big things coming. And I think, you know, one of them certainly is an interest rate increase, which at the bank and economists have projected probably every year for the last 6 or 7 years. And it, you know, it hasn't happened well. Most recently, it has happened in the last Fed meeting. And it appears that next year it's going to happen probably 2 or 3 more times. I think most people that predict say, maybe 3 total, including the 25 basis points that the Fed just moved rates. If Trump can really generate some activity in this economy through infrastructure, through tax reform, through regulatory reform, we might see that interest inflation move and that interest rate move up maybe 50, 75 basis points next year.
People say that we probably should have already been there at those levels in the past, that we've moved too slow with interest rates going up. Give us a sense of what that would mean for banks like Associated Bank, for consumers, if we saw those increases over the year.
Well, there's still a lot of people on floating rate debt, meaning that when interest rates move, your mortgage payment or your equity line on your home loan or your home mortgage, actually your monthly payment goes up. So what happens when monthly payments go up? Banks experience more defaults. And, you know, a 25 basis point change isn't that great, but when you get, think about your own mortgage, when you get to paying an extra 75 to 100 basis points extra, that's money out of your monthly check. And so, you know, we'll start to watch that. I think we'll also see that people will begin to anticipate this interest rate increase and probably try to lock in some of this floating rate debt that they've played what I would call an arbitrage for years, paying floating rate debt while it didn't go up and not fixing, and now they may convert that floating rate debt to fixed rate debt or conventional mortgages.
We've heard a lot of discussion recent days about charge-offs. For our listeners who may not be up on all of the terminology and know this very well, give us a sense of what charge-offs are. And is $30 billion a lot?
Well, banks actually hit their income statement with two entries. One is provision, which is basically an insurance policy that's unallocated that we put into our income statement, that we actually reduce our earnings by that amount and take that provision for a rainy day. And then a charge-off is when we've actually identified a situation where we see a loan that we anticipate won't be collected or won't be fully collected. And those charge-offs have become plentiful, but with interest rates going up, especially with consumer debt, probably will become more plentiful.
Yeah, because experts are saying that on the flip side of that equation are the consumers, and that we're seeing more of that consumer debt being defaulted on. Is that a trend that might continue next year?
I mean, when interest rates go up, all that does is fuel the opportunity to do that. Now, the offset to that may be if we lower taxes. Mm-hmm. That's helpful in terms of your monthly cash flow. If the economy really does get fueled in the way that Mr. Trump would like to do it or President Trump would like to do it, you're going to have more people working and more people with higher salaries or income that could possibly carry that. And, you know, time will tell.
Yeah, the other part of that, too, is pay. we might see pay increase over the coming year, because a lot of folks are concerned that that difference between what people are earning is not going up as fast as it should. That would be another area.
Well, I think it's, and you know, since the downturn or the recession, whatever you want to call, happened in 2008, 2009, there's a lot of folks who haven't had pay raises at all. And so with inflation and with interest rate moving up, I think we will begin to see, you know, hopefully we will begin to see earnings move up with deregulation and things like that. And with that comes pay. So, you know, that's the plan.
Yeah.
We'll see.
The other prediction, and again, we're kind of going off some of the predictions of just experts that we've trolled the internet for, some of the big named experts. Unemployment, they say, is going to stay around 5%. Do you think it might actually even get better than that?
I saw something in the last couple of days, 4.75. But I mean, I think if you're a Republican or a Democrat or somewhere on the fence, that 4.5-5% number is pretty attractive considering what we've been through. I'm comfortable with that and encouraged. It's nice for an administration to take over in a situation like they are now with relatively low unemployment.
And still hearing from employers that they're having a hard time filling some positions.
There are positions that we do have. I mean, at the bank at any one time, I think, you know, there's not tens but probably hundreds of positions that aren't filled. And that has to do with skill sets and quality and things like that.
The other prediction, too, is that our GDP, the gross domestic product, is not going to go very far. Some predictions say maybe 1.7. Others say 2.1. Both of those are anemic, is a good way to describe them.
Well, and from all I've read, and you're just getting a regurgitation of what I read, that 1.7, 1.9, 2.1 is what most of the experts say. And yet, if you recall, during the election, President-elect Trump suggested a 4% number. And 2017, I would guess, is a little bit early to hit that kind of pace. So, you know, that anemic number of 2.1 is probably there. I understand, though, that the second half of 2016, which we're just finishing up, looks like it's going to be in the 3 to 3.2% range. So we've made some improvements.
I've heard over the last month or so, as I'm sure you have, different folks talking about what this year might bring in terms of rolling back regulations. I heard one congressman say he just himself had a list of 200 regulations that he wanted rolled back under the Trump administration. Can that happen fast? I mean, 200 seems like an awful lot.
Well, I think why it seems like an awful lot is there's no precedent for anything like this. And yet, given the way we're aligned, the Congress, the Senate, obviously the presidential situation, we're at the point now where nothing may surprise us. And I will tell you that the stock market has already responded to what they feel will probably be a rollback in regulation. I mean, if you followed bank stocks at all, which obviously we follow at the bank for a number of reasons, you know, we hold them. We also are looking at other banks now and then. Bank stocks have run up anywhere from 20 to 35, 40% since the election. And that isn't on performance. That's all based on coming performance that is probably available because of regulation rollback that hasn't occurred.
There are a lot of folks who do look at those prices, those stock numbers you're talking about, with a little bit of concern that maybe they're going up a little too fast and that the party's going on maybe with a balloon or two that are going to pop sooner than later. How do you feel about that?
I can't argue that point. I think that when it's too good to be true, sometimes it's too good to be true.
Your advice would be tread carefully.
Well, I think you still, I mean, I would guess that portfolio managers are still saying, you know, this doesn't mean you load up on bank stocks. In fact, you probably rebalance your portfolio at this time because, you know, it could dive just as quickly if as you say, some of those regulations really don't change at the speed that some people think they may.
Some of the other predictions for the year are generally good for banks. People might be buying more cars, might be buying more homes, all of those kinds of things. That's generally good for banks, right?
Well, I think the interest rate thing drives both auto purchases and home purchases. And that's to say that when you are anticipating an increase, perhaps that car that you're talking about buying a year from now, you may buy today because that car loan rate is going to be less in your payments, and the same way with homes. So it's an interesting phenomena, but as interest rates you go up, you say, well, people can't afford it. Well, I think people are thinking, I can afford it now at this increased rate, but maybe a year or two from now, if rates really move, I can't, so let's go.
Yeah, and you have to sort of put all of this in perspective, too. I mean, there was a time when car loan rates used to be 7, 8%. Home rates were up in the teens as well. So you have to kind of have a little perspective on that.
You do, except our CFO at Associated has presented a few times and really talked about the new norm may not be that 7 or 8%. It may be that 3 to 5% range that we're... Keep in mind, too, when you say good for banks, that because of the sluggish economy the last 4 or 5 years, there's a lot of people who haven't purchased a car or haven't purchased a home. And so as the economy starts to come out of this, and it has, that pent-up demand is not 1 year of demand, but it might be multiple years.
Yeah, I'm one of those people in terms of cars. I have an older car that I'm just dying to get rid of, but I'm waiting for those economic indicators that I've been watching to
get rid of. But you live in the city?
I do, so I never drive my car.
Keep the older car.
You know, it has 70,000 miles on it. It's 10 years old, if that tells you anything about how often I drive that car. So,
okay.
But it would be nice to have a new car.
I'm in the same shape. Yeah. I'm driving a car with 100,000 miles on it.
A couple of the people that we were quoting on predictions there say auto sales may surpass 17 million for a third straight year in 2017. Home sales could rise to 6 million. Those are existing home sales. So those are good numbers.
Real good numbers. Yeah. Now, the one thing that, as you talk about consumer debt, that probably won't happen while interest rates go up, and it makes perfect sense, is the refinance market is probably going to be cut in half because the ability to come in and, you know, people refinance because they get a lower rate than they had before. Well, if rates are going up, that's not going to happen. So the banks that have relied heavily on reaching out to people to refinance their mortgages won't have that opportunity.
So, Breck, what would be your personal New Year's resolution for 2017?
Oh, boy.
Put you on the spot.
You know, we're right in the middle of a conversation like this. I think that I'd like to look at this new administration mm-hmm. and not high-five too soon mm-hmm. and not get too negative, because if we make a lot of decisions really quickly, we're going to make some mistakes and hope that we can correct those. So I think my resolution would be just to be patient and give the new administration some time.
Health and happiness as well thrown in there to you and your family as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We'll see you after the new year.
I'm hoping so.
Excellent.
Done.